Blog Talk Radio
presents the Blog Radio Show.
Welcome to Applause Radio Show. I'm Joanne Barton, and thank you for joining us on this special night, Saturday. We don't usually do shows on Saturday evening, and I can't be more thankful to our guests for rescheduling and being kind enough to reschedule and join me on a crazy busy Saturday night. So let's just get right to it because we've got a lot to talk about. I am so excited to bring to you guys and to welcome to the show author, performer, TV historian, producer, oh my God, TV personality, singer, songwriter, which I didn't know. We're going to talk about that. I can't wait. And he's also the founder of the TV Preservation Society, a TV talk show host. You name it, he's done it. He's an author of, I think, 15 or more books. I don't even know. But we are thrilled and excited to welcome Mr. Herbie J. Pato to the show. Herbie, sir, thank you so much for joining me tonight. I appreciate it so much.
You're welcome. Hi, Joanne, and hi, everybody. Very excited
yes.
to be here.
Yes, I didn't know about your singing, songwriting little thingy there you got going on. What's up with that? I know about all your great books and your TV show. I just didn't know that you were a singer-songwriter as well.
Well, actually, that was music and dance really was my first love back back in the day when I was a kid. We used to put on Kids in the Neighborhood. We were like the Andy Hardy movies. Hey, let's put on a show. And, you know, we'd put on these shows in the neighborhood. We lived across this. My house is across the street from a factory that had like a loading dock.
Yeah.
So we used the loading dock as a stage and invited everybody
yep.
in the neighborhood. So.
Oh, my God. And I thought it was just me that was a weirdo because we did that, too.
Yeah.
You know, I guess, you know, when you have imagination and no technology, this is what we did.
Yeah. Well, that's
yeah.
what I did for sure. And not only
yeah,
did
we did
no
it,
technology,
too.
We had no money.
Yeah, that's so. True, too. That's we couldn't go to movies or anything, too. Now, you're originally from Rochester, I believe, right?
Right, Rochester, New York, born and raised, October 9th, 1960. It was my beautiful, beautiful family. Both my mother and father had several siblings, so it was a party every night with cousins and aunts and uncles and everything.
Oh, well, with the Italian in you, I'm sure. Yeah. Oh, man.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
It's so funny. I used to always want to get together with an Italian family at Christmas because of the seven fishes.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Oh, it's delicious.
And so
delicious.
Much more.
Right, exactly. So now, since you were in Rochester, did you go into the city often or no? Was that just miles and miles away to you as a young child?
Oh, my gosh, it's miles and miles away to anybody. It was like, you know, 300 miles. New York City is 300 miles from Rochester. Rochester is the third largest city in the state next to New York, Buffalo, Rochester. So, or New York, Syracuse, Rochester, I believe. So,
right. But as a kid, though, were you always like, oh, I've got to get to New York? I mean, and did your parents
no.
ever take you?
No, I had no desire to do that. I always just wanted to come to L.A. I would watch, you know, I knew about New York City from That Girl.
Right.
Watching That Girl.
Right.
But
isn't
really,
it crazy?
No, I had no desire because New York was stage, and I wanted TV.
Right, that's true. That's true. But isn't it crazy that people our age, like these TV shows, had such an effect, an impact on our lives, and they're with us today. And like the sitcoms back then, they were kind of corny, but they had a moral, and we didn't think they were corny at the time, you know, when we were watching mm-hmm. them. I mean, and for mm-hmm. me, I mean, I felt like I wanted to step into each and every one of them, like just crawl into that TV and get on each and one of those shows and hang out with those people and be with them and be part of their lives too, you know. Did you ever feel that way too, or?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, I wanted to live in Rob and Laura's living room on the Dick Van Dyke Show. I love that. It was just so welcoming, you know. And there was actually a couple images or pictures that I found in a garage sale years later that were very similar to a couple that Rob and Laura had in their living room. So I got those. So that was the closest I came to living in that living room.
Wow. Well, now you wanted, like you said, you were a singer-songwriter. Well, music was your first love, but you really wanted to be an actor. So how did becoming an author, I mean, because you've obviously done more writing than you have acting, I think. That's my opinion based on what I saw. So how did that happen?
Well, I studied acting at Nazareth College in Rochester, which is, you know, a wonderful school. It's in Pittsburgh, which is a suburb of Rochester. And then I went to UCLA to study TV and film, like on a trimester. And then I made the formal move to LA the year after that, which was the fall of 83. And I started, I was told that getting a job as a page at NBC was a good internship. So I wanted to get a job there. And once I started working at NBC, I became really interested in the behind-the-scenes stuff. And so then I worked there for about, 84 to 85, broke my toe, ended up watching TV again, watched Bewitched, loved Bewitched. NBC was doing a reunion movie for Iza Magini, and I thought, well, let me do a reunion movie for Bewitched. Elizabeth Montgomery didn't want to do the reunion movie. I said, how about we do a book? And I became an author. And in the meantime, my parents were getting older, and I thought, let me go back to care for them. And, you know, the way I can stay connected with L.A. or Hollywood is if I can't be in a TV show, I at least can write about it. And that's how it happened.
Wow. And not only did you write about it, I mean, I counted at least 14 or 15 books that you've gotten, 14 at least, on pop culture and celebrity biographies, and now the Christmas book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. So you just keep on going, man. I don't know. How do you find the time to write? I mean, what is your process to writing that you can pump out all these books?
I don't know. I mean, I get up really early. I'm an early, early bird. I'm up at 3 a.m., you know, either formulating ideas or writing, because I write blogs too. And I love social media because I'm a communicator and I love to communicate. So there's that.
Yeah.
But by 11 o'clock that morning, I'm shot. You know, I'm done.
Right. You've done it all.
Sometimes by 9 o'clock, I'm done. So.
Well, now, let me ask you this now about the page. Being a page, I was always curious. Are most pages wannabe actors or no? Or is it just people who just want to be involved?
No, it's not just acting. I mean, everybody, you know, they're interested in directing, producing,
something in
writing,
the entertainment industry. Yeah.
Anything that has to do with the entertainment industry that, you know, and it wasn't, I didn't want to be a CBS page and I didn't want to be an ABC page. I was told that the cool thing to do would be an NBC page. And then all the people say, oh, you can't do that. You know, why? That's the most sought-after internship, you know, in all of the industry. You'll never be able to do it. And I did it. Yeah. Just like they said, oh, you'll never be able to meet Elizabeth Montgomery. And I did. Oh,
I know.
You just can't listen to people. You just can't.
How did you, I mean, all the books that you did write, I mean, you spoke to a lot of people that were involved in the cast or directors and whatnot. So especially, like you said, with Elizabeth Montgomery, you've actually did interviews with her for your books, Bewitched Forever and Twitch Upon a Star. And I mean, how did you score those?
Well, Bill Asher, who was a producer,
yeah,
director, and her husband on that,
yeah,
show, he was doing a new Bewitched. He was planning on doing a new Bewitched show called Bewitched Again. It was going to be produced in the UK,
mm-hmm,
and Elizabeth was going to make like this cameo, introduce a new witch, and then pop off. I couldn't believe she was going to do the cameo.
Mm.
But it lost financing, and I had sent him my reunion script for Bewitched, and he liked that. So he was going to hire me as a writer on that show. But it lost financing, and then I had all this Bewitched energy, and I said, how about we do a book about the original show? I said, do you think Elizabeth would do that? Let me talk to her. So long story short, 6 months later, after he gives me her phone number, yes, I had Elizabeth Montgomery's phone number.
Wow.
She called me back, and we met, and she really appreciated my vision of Bewitched, was that it wasn't just a show about a silly little witch. It was about people who love each other despite the differences.
Right.
And she appreciated.
I'm sorry.
Go on.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I interrupted you. I apologize. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say she appreciated that. I appreciated her, and that I didn't, you know, ask for an autograph. I didn't ask for a picture. Today, that's what you do. But then I didn't want to be that guy. I wanted to be someone professional and someone who really just revered her. And that's what she appreciated. And that's why she opened up to me, I think.
Right. And your books, I mean, for those who don't know, I didn't read any of them, which I regret because I would love each and every one of them. I'm guessing that they're not all goody-goody. You reveal everything, good, the bad, and even the ugly, if there is ugly, yes?
Not as though I reveal those things. Because I do believe in telling the truth, but I try to do that with dignity. It's not, they're not salacious books. They tell the truth, but they're not salacious. I don't write like that. That's against my MO. My MO is, you know, representing everything that's good and great and positive about classic TV. Now, that doesn't mean that these people were flawless, because Elizabeth was not flawless.
Mm.
You know, she had issues. Just like the rest of us. Name me one person that doesn't have an issue.
Exactly.
So.
Right. So I'm just, well, when I say the ugly, I meant the truth. That's all I meant. Yeah, I didn't mean it disparagingly. Yeah, I surely didn't mean it with disrespect. But, you know, that's great because, you know, you want people to know everything about it. Now, I'm curious, did you actually interview Agnes Moorehead too, or was she with us at the time?
No. She had died years before I met her. The only people I really didn't interview were her and Paul Lynde. Everybody else I talked to, you know, Dick York, Dick Sargent, David White, Alice Ghostly. You know, tons behind and in front of the scenes, you know.
Wow. And you also... I think you did. I'm a huge fan of reels. Unfortunately, I have not watched TV since I started doing the show, but I did see a portion of the documentary that you did and that you took part in. So I'm going to guess that they did a lot of that based off of your books.
Well, yes, and I served as a co-executive producer on that. A co-director, co-writer, and then as an on-screen commentator. But I worked with AMS Productions, AMS Pictures, which is a wonderful production company, and also Joel Eisenberg on that. So it was a very, very collaborative documentary. But, yes, they did trust me as the main source for that material. But we also got, you know, Elizabeth Montgomery's son to be interviewed, which was a wonderful thing. And Aaron Murphy, who played Tabitha, and Joyce Buell-Lafon, who was William Asher's wife after Elizabeth. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I brought everybody together.
Well, that's another great thing about doing your books. You bring everybody together. So that's really great too.
Yeah.
So
Which
now
I
again,
always love to do anyway.
Right, right, right.
Go ahead.
So you've got your Bewitched book. You did Kung Fu books. So now the titles, not the titles, but the topics, I should say, are these because these were your favorite shows or just something that piqued your interest?
They were my favorite shows. I loved Bewitched as a kid because, you know, like the rest of us, the 60s, it was, you know, Vietnam and race rioting and... And there was Samantha, you know, giving a magic answer to it all. And then I loved Kung Fu. I loved the $6 Million Man, the Bionic Woman. And there was a thread in each of those shows. It was they were all about prejudice. Samantha loved each other, loved Darren despite their differences. And Kane, Kwai Chang Kane on Kung Fu was a Asian in a Western world, like Samantha was a witch in a mortal world. Steve and Jamie on the $6 Million Man, you know, they felt different because they were these half man, half machines. So I tried to, you know, have a running thread, and I just happened to always love those shows anyway. And then years later, you know, Life Goes On came along, and then I did the book on Life Goes On about Corky, who had Down syndrome, and Chad Lowe, who played the character with AIDS. So,
yeah, and again, I could go on and on with these titles. It's a Kung Fu, Book of Kane, and you also, some of your books, I believe you have, well, I don't want to say co-written, but you've had the actual star of the show contribute to the book,
absolutely. I had Elizabeth Montgomery granted me the interview for the Bewitched book and Bewitched Forever, which was a rewrite of the Bewitched book, and then David Carradine wrote the foreword for the Kung Fu Book of Kane after he also granted me interviews for that, and then Spielman, who created Kung Fu, he did the foreword for the Kung Fu Book of Wisdom, which was the sequel to the Kung Fu Book of Pain.
Right. Wow. Now, okay, here I can keep going. Life and History, which is Life Goes On, that you just said. Dashing, Daring, and Debonair, the TV's top male icons from the 50s, 60s, and 70s. Glamour, Gidgets, and The Girls Next Door. I mean, all great stuff. TV's iconic women from the 50s and 60s. My goodness. And I think, did you just get named Los Angeles's 2023's Book of the Year and Author of the Year for Retroactive Television?
Retroactive Television, which is really a culmination of everything I've always wanted to write about with regards to classic TV. Retroactive Television, an in-depth perspective of classic TV social circuitry, was named Book of the Year at the Los Angeles Book Festival, and then I was named Author of the Year by that group.
Very nice.
As a consequence or subsequence of being the Book of the Year. So that was a pretty cool
thing. Congratulations on that. I remember when CNN did that. Remember when CNN did that retrospective on oh God, what was the title? Oh, on all the old shows.
Yeah, I was on that.
If you were on that. I figured you would be.
Yeah.
I figured, but I only, it was so long, I couldn't watch every one of them.
It went on forever, right? Yeah.
It was long, but it was great. It's just a shame we don't have these type of shows anymore. I guess the times have changed. And what do you think? What's your opinion why we can't do shows like this anymore?
Well, I think that, you know, and there's a lot of talented people out there in front of and, again, behind the scenes.
Right.
But they think that there has to be vulgarity and violence and that everything has to be edgy and you can't have any happy endings anymore, and all the characters have to be sarcastic and mean-spirited and roll their eyes. They think that's what everybody wants, but that's not what everybody wants. Everybody wants to hear and to watch a good story, just like they always did.
Right.
Things have just gotten out of control. It's very,
welcome to
very,
America.
Very
welcome
sad.
To America, Herbie. Welcome to America. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Welcome to America, 2023. Disgusting, isn't it? Anyway, I don't want to go there, but you're right. It's just wholesome, good storylines and a moral to the story and feel good TV. I mean, we just grew up with so many great shows and the memories just don't leave. And, oh, have you ever met Norman Lear? You know, he just passed. I know you know that, unfortunately.
No, I did not. I never had the opportunity to meet him. But certainly, he changed the face of television forever.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
However, at the same time, that's when, you know, I remember I was talking with Harry Ackerman, who was another a game changer in history of TV. He executive producer for so many great shows, Jimmy Genie, Bewitched, Hazel, you know, on and on and on. And he was also a CBS executive during the era of Lucy. But he said, you know, he said to me one day, he goes, you know, I get that people wanted something different with All in the Family and Good Times and The Jeffersons, which are all great shows, but why did everything have to be go that way? Why couldn't we still have had the Brady Bunch on TV or that kind of programming? Why does it always have to be one or the other? So that was, you know, just like they killed every show with a tree in it in 1971, CBS decided, oh, okay, no more Petticoat Junction, no more Green Acres, no more Beverly Hillbillies, no more Mayberry RFD. And, you know, then they decided to go the other way. Why couldn't they have kept everything? So, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know, it's just crazy.
Well, thank God for MeTV and Antenna.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, because if I was still watching TV, I would be on my Sundays where MeTV, that was my Sunday. I would just turn MeTV on and just have it on all day. Brady Bunch, everything. I mean, just loved it, you know. So, but unfortunately, now that I do the show, I have no time to watch anything, unfortunately. But one of my favorites was, of course, $6 Million Man. That was like a breakthrough at that time. It's like, oh, wow, this is so cool. And what a great show that was. And then The Bionic Woman. So your book, The Bionic Book, The $6 Million Man and The Bionic Woman Restructured. Tell us about that.
Yes. I wrote it originally in 2007, and I decided that because this was the 50th anniversary of The $6 Million Man this year in October, it was time for a reboot. So there were some things that I didn't like about the first version, and I wanted to change the tense. I wanted everything to be said instead of say she says. I wanted everything to be said. And I wanted a couple other pictures in there. Some of the anecdotes from the episodes needed updating. And then Terrence McDonnell, who was one of the writers on the show on 6 Mill, he came in and he wrote a new introduction to the book. Richard Anderson, who played Oscar on both shows, Stephen Jamie Foss, he wrote the foreword, but I wanted to do something different. And I also added some new pictures as well. So, yeah, it was just time for a reboot. You know, I look at it like when Iron Man said to Spider-Man, you know, it's time for an upgrade. And, you know, and Iron Man, you know, helped Spider-Man upgrade. And so I just upgraded the Bionic Book to the special commemorative edition. That's what I call
it. Very nice. Very nice. Could you imagine if they did a remake of The $6 Million Man or Bionic Woman today, what that would be like? It would be like full on robot, you know? It would be ridiculous.
Yeah.
It would be ridiculous.
Well, they tried to do it so many times. They did remake Bionic Woman in like 2007, but it was on NBC. But she had, you know, all bionic parts and both eyes and both her ears. She had all this, you know.
Everything.
Steve had the, yeah, Steve had the eye. Jamie had the ear. So they kind of intermingled the bionic woman with the $6 million man, and they didn't have anything about Steve. And the whole point of the show, the original Bionic Woman, was that they had a romance, and that's what made those those shows stand out, is because they were so realistic. All that was taken away with the new Bionic Woman. So,
I know it's so hard to do remakes of classics because I don't know. No matter how good they are, you still just remember that classic and the original, and it's, I don't know. If it ain't broke, don't fix it, I guess, is what I'm getting at.
Well,
but
that's the problem. What you said is absolutely right. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. They try to make it something different. If you're going to do a remake, all you
have to
do is stick to the mythology of the original concept. Yes, of course you want to modernize it, you know, a little bit, whatever.
Yeah.
But don't do some whole new take on what was made great. If you don't want to do the Bionic Woman, then don't do the Bionic Woman. But if you're going to do the Bionic Woman, then do it right and stick
to
the story that everybody loved.
Right. Change it to the Robot Woman then, or something, not the Bionic Woman. Yeah. Exactly.
Exactly.
You took away from the whole story. I get it. I know. Even movies, the same thing goes for movies. A classic movie is just like, you know, to me, whenever they do a remake, it's like, it's a big bomb to me. I don't know. Cause like everybody's like, oh, did you see, A Star Is Born with Lady Gaga? I said, no, I remember the Judy Garland and Kris Kristofferson and Barbara Streisand, and that's the way I want to remember it. As much as I like Lady Gaga, don't get me wrong, but I don't want to take away from that great storylines of those versions from myself. So I never saw it. Did you see it?
It was horrible. It was horrible.
Oh,
I mean,
see, I know you would know.
It was just absolutely horrible. And I don't know. I guess it won a couple of awards. Who the hell knows? But it's just, you know, here's the issue, Joanne. Here's the issue with, in my opinion, of what's wrong with movies and TV today. There is a severe lack of charm. There is no charm. There is no showmanship. There is no likability.
Yeah.
You just have very unlikable characters.
Mm-hmm.
Who all hate each other. there's no playful interaction, and God forbid you have a happy ending.
Right.
If you can't have a happy ending today, if you do have any kind of smile at the end of a movie or at the end of an episode of a TV show, somewhere along the line before those credits roll, some other character will run into the picture and say, "Oh, Bob's mother got stabbed 5 times. And that's how it will end.
You're so right. You are so right. Oh, my God. Listen, I love the old shows. I've been told to grow up. Why are you watching all this stuff all the time? Move on with your life. And I said, this is my life. I'm not moving on. I grew up with this stuff. I love it. And I love that you love it, and I know there's more like us out there. There's many of us like this out there. So it's like, just do it. I don't understand. I'm with you. I hear you. I don't understand it. I really don't get it. So
well, I think the television that we loved, and I've come to terms with this now. I finally have. It's just over. It's never going to come back.
Music ever. Too. Music too.
I don't know what's going to happen, but it's never going to be bad. Now, thankfully, we have the DVDs and the Blu-rays and the streaming and the MeTV networks and whatnot.
Yeah.
But that's all we have. It's not like everybody in the industry is going to wake up and go, "Hey, let's do TV like they used to." They're not going to have it.
No, it's gone. He said it's gone forever. Gone forever. But I'll tell you, without those shows, they made my life the way the way I think, the way I treat people, they just molded me, I believe, because when we were kids, we really, I don't know about you, but when we were kids, it's like, okay, get out of the house, go out and play. And you came in the house, you watched TV. So that, if you weren't with your family, that was your family, you know? So I don't know, to me.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, so, and that little box, because we had a little small black and white TV till color came around, and I just loved it, loved it, loved it, loved it, and I love it still to this day. I, even when, before phones, cell phones came around and everything, I had a portable TV in my hand that they would, they sold these little tiny, they sucked, I'm not going to lie, but at least I had my little TV.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, they did. They weren't great, but I was able to get some channels, you know, but, but I mean, I was just addicted to TV really bad. Oh my God. And I'm addicted to news on my phone and stuff on, like you said, streaming and stuff. And it just, it's so much easier to, but it's overload in my opinion too. I get too much overload of too much stuff. So anyway, but then again, music too is that's gone too. Music as we knew it is gone too, in my opinion.
Oh, the music is just horrendous today,
isn't it?
Here's what the, here to me. Here's what the music is to me today. Here's what it is. Here you go. That's it. There's no melodies. There's no lyrics.
No.
There's no storytelling. Maybe in country music, okay? Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah.
But beyond that, I don't know what they're doing. It's a bunch of young kids moaning.
Yep.
That's all it is. That's
yep.
what the new music is.
Well, before we go on, I wanted to ask, this just came to me. Now, if we had, growing up, if we had what they have now with social media, don't you think your career would have taken off a hell of a lot sooner?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know who I would have become if we had social media.
I think that I would have had so much... All of us, I think, would have had so much more opportunity, you know, because we pounded the pavement. We wrote letters. We made phone calls. Now it's just put a video on. If people like it, boom, you're done. That's it. You've made it, you know. You don't even have to have talent.
Well, in that sense, yes. But if we had the technology that they have today, if we had it 50 years ago, we probably would be androids by now. So
yeah.
So there's that.
Yeah, there is that. There is that. Oh my goodness. Oh, so now your books have always. I Mary Tyler Moore too. We didn't even touch on that one yet. The Mary Tyler Moore story. I mean, that one must be great too. Another great show that I loved, and I loved her. And but now. You went on to Sean Connery. So are you going to shift more towards movies or bigger stars, like movie stars instead of TV sitcoms? Because you've got your other book, Connery, Sean Connery, before, during, and after his most famous role, Connery, Sean Connery. How cool is that? How long did that one take to write?
That one took a long time. That I started in 2020. And it ended up published just earlier this year. Well, that book and my upcoming book next year about Diana Rigg, One Tough Dame, and this upcoming book, that I'm doing on Lucas and Spielberg, that all was the brain. They all three of them were the brain children of my agent, who said, you know, Herbie, maybe you should do something besides, you know, classic TV. And quite frankly. In 2020, you know, in the middle of the pandemic, I really didn't give a crap about anything. I didn't want to do anything. I was done writing. I was exhausted by it. And so I said, well, I don't know. Who should I write about? So we literally looked at who died that week and said, well, Sean Connery died and Diana Rigg died, so maybe you can do books on them. Mm. And that's how that happened.
Wow.
I mean, I always loved Sean. I always loved him. I never thought that I would write about him. I mean, to me, he was always the best Bond, of course.
Yeah.
And yada, yada, yada. But I was never you know, wild enough to say, hey, I got to write a book about this guy. However, in the writing of the book, he's just amazing. The guy was terrific.
Now, this is dawning on me.
I mean, he had his issues. He had his issues, you know.
Yeah.
He definitely had his issues. But there, for every woman who didn't like him, there was a ton who did.
Right.
So, and, I mean, Barbara Carrera, who was his co-star in Never Say Never Again, she adored him, and she wrote the foreword to my book. Luciana Paluzzi, who starred with him in Thunderball, adored him. You know, Lana Wood, who was Natalie Wood's sister, she worked with him on Diamonds Are Forever. She adored him. So, I mean, there was a ton of women in the audience, of course, who also adored him. And he had that bad boy thing that was a hip thing to do in the 60s. No, he should not have slapped his wife. If he did, she said he did. Of course he should have not slapped his wife. But he was almost a victim himself of what was going on in his life. He had a rough childhood. He grew up as a street fighter. That type of man was considered a cool thing, not the hitting part, but the macho stuff.
Of course.
And certainly James Bond did not have a lot of respect for women beyond sex, and the character itself changed over the years, thank God. But that was of its time, you know, when we all, our awareness was raised, and when we became more aware of things, just like everything else that we're aware of today, it was a different world. You can't condemn people for being the way they were, which is the way the society shaped them.
Right.
You know, now we know better.
Right. And like you said, we all have flaws. We all have issues or, you know, what happens behind closed doors, nobody knows, you know. So, but everybody's got a life. You've got your own life. You know, it's called life. That's what
that's
what happens.
Right.
Right.
Whatever happened between Sean's wife, his first one.
Yeah.
Whatever happened between him and her is their business. And they're both gone now.
Right.
Okay. And she said one thing, he said another, he apologized for this, whatever. But nobody knows the true story of anybody's life, really, except
other than
lived it. All we can do is report, you know, objectively about what we know.
Right. Based on what we've been told or read or whatever throughout the years. Right. Exactly. Right. And it's your life. What you do is your life. I mean, and I hope I live my life like a book that they banned it in Florida, you know, whatever. So, but in a good way, in a kind way, in a kind way. So what dawned on me when you were talking before, now you all, I hate to even say it, but everybody that we've loved and grew up watching, we're losing them so quickly. So, like, not just, I shouldn't say quickly. It just seems like more now, I guess, because, you know, when we were watching, we were kids, and they were already adults, 30s, 20s at least. So they had at least 20, 30 years on us at the time, and we're losing them now. And it's like, what are you going to do with your subjects now? You really may not have many to actually interview if you continue to do these retro TV sitcoms. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
Well, Barbara Eden is 91 years old.
Oh,
still
God bless her.
I can't wrap my head around that.
I know. She's still beautiful.
And looking gorgeous.
Yes.
Looking gorgeous. Jacqueline Smith, who is just so beautiful, 77, you know.
Right.
Cheryl Ladd. 73, whatever. Lindsay Wagner, 75, somewhere around there. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's life. I mean, I remember as a kid watching TV movies and seeing older stars then.
Right.
My parents knew, watch them. And I remember my mother in particular saying, you know, watching Ray Milland in some new TV movie. And Ray Milland was a movie star from what, the 30s or the 40s and the 50s. Mm. And I just remember her going, oh, he got so old. Yeah. and that's life, you know.
Yeah.
It is. It's not as though there more are dying today than before. It's just that everybody we loved is getting older.
Right, right. They're all reaching
just
that
like
age,
we
yeah.
Are.
Right, we're getting old, yeah.
So.
Mm-hmm. I know. Oh, my goodness. So now everything, all your books have been basically entertainment geared, and now you have this new Christmas book out, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. What was the sudden turn to do a Christmas book? I mean, Christmas books are great, so why all of a sudden?
Well, I love Christmas. I've always
loved
Christmas.
Me too.
And just like the movie books were a departure for me, I had always wanted to do – I was always talking about my family growing up in the 60s and 70s in Rochester and how it was just a wonderful experience to have 50, 60 people, you know, at the house on the holidays, to have 10 people at least every night for some kind of birthday.
Yeah.
And I've been always talking about these stories. So I wrote about 25, 30 years ago, this little book of memories, Christmas memories, that I typed out on a typewriter before computers, and I gave it to people in my family. And that was then, at the time, called The 9 Best Secrets of Christmas.
Mm.
So for years and years and years, I knew that I wanted to really expand that, and I finally had the time to do that, and it came up with the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. I added 3 because 12, you know, tie in with the 12 Days of Christmas type thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And each chapter is a memory of a Christmas memory of growing up in Rochester, and each memory has a secret about what Christmas really means. Now,
right.
I tried to universalize my memories for everybody so that it just wasn't about me, but rather my stories were, I was hoping, would be similar to other people. And not just Christmas, Hanukkah, you know, however you celebrate whatever holiday, it's all about family and love, no matter who you are.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
My particular experience was that I was a Catholic Christian and that I loved Jesus. Okay, that was me. And that was that's Christmas to me. And I present it as my story, but the way I write around it is about the family.
Mm.
You know, and Dean Butler, who played on Little House on the Prairie, Almanzo, he wrote the foreword to that, and Jerry Hauser, who was the, oh, God, he did everything, every guest starring role you could think of, and not to mention a voiceover for Rudolph in the 80s and 90s. And he was also Marsha Brady's husband on The Brady Brides. He wrote the introduction. So.
Oh, nice.
So
share one.
Not
to give the book away, share one of the secrets with us. There's 12, so you could give us one.
Okay. Let it snow. That is, I think, chapter 2 or chapter 3.
Uh-huh.
Let it snow. Sometimes, you know, when we're kids, right? You get in the snow and you make angels in the snow.
Yeah.
And I remember specifically we were in school. Just like at the beginning of Frosty the Snowman, you know, where they're in class and they're watching the snow, and they're just about to go outside to make Frosty, right?
Yeah.
It was really like that for me. I remember that, looking outside, listening to the teacher, being bored as all get out, and looking outside and seeing the first snow of the season and how magical that was and how – there's so much magic in just the snowfall that you let it snow. Let
Herbie, are you me in a male version? Because I'm telling you, I can't. I know that feeling. I love the first snow. It's beautiful. It's so serene, it's quiet, and it's just so pretty, and I just can't explain it. And I do love that first snow, and oh man, I swear, are you me? Oh my God. Oh, and just just that time of year, it's just the love, like you said, it's just love, and everybody's kind to each other. At least that's how it used to be. That's what I remember.
It still happens. It still happens, yeah. Sue. And, you know, there is something.
Well, in my family, it does. And with me, it does. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's something magical about it. No doubt about it. You feel it. People are nicer to each other. They're sweeter. They are. They really, really are. But back in the 60s, in the 70s, you know, we didn't know what was going on. We were kids. We didn't know that the world was falling apart then, too. And
right.
It was. See,
right.
See, that's the thing. Everybody thinks the world has gotten worse. No, the world has not gotten worse. There's always been problems. It's just that social media has exacerbated our awareness.
Right. Because, like you said, everything was going on around us, and we had no idea. We were definitely sheltered. We were definitely sheltered. In my opinion,
we saw Vietnam on the news, but that was it. And it was like, okay,
was
Vietnam War, something's wrong.
Bob Hope and the USO shows. That's it. Bob Hope and the USO shows and the news. That's all I knew about Vietnam when I was growing up.
That's right. That's absolutely right.
That's all
that's
I knew.
Right. I mean, you certainly didn't. You didn't hear about Vietnam on Gomer Pyle.
No.
Absolutely. It was an alternate universe on Gomer Pyle, even though it was the same era. It was an alternate universe.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's just Christmas
it's just
is magical,
crazy.
And I wanted to do a book that could prove that I just don't do entertainment books. You know.
Right. Well, and I think it may be just a reflection also on your childhood, of course, and your childhood growing up sounds very similar to mine. So, and all we have is happy memories. And if you had nothing, you didn't know you had nothing because your parents didn't let you know you had nothing because everybody else had nothing. So it wasn't a competition.
Right.
It wasn't a competition either. Like, oh, that kid's wearing that. Well, guess what? I'm wearing the same shit as that kid. So we're good, you know?
Right.
You know, it's just so everything is just so. So I'm guessing you must feel the same way about me, about the way the world is turned upside down now. I'm guessing. That you got to be disgusted. You got to be disgusted because I surely am.
Well, and I am, however, I try to be, you follow me on Facebook, you've seen my posts, I try to take the high road, you know, and some people are, oh, he's so holier than thou. I'm like, trust me, I'm not holier than thou.
No.
I swear, I get angry, whatever, but because I'm in the public eye, and because I do have a following that's significant on Facebook or social media, I try to take the high road, you know? I try to just post only positive things. And if I don't, I sometimes go off, I'll erase it. If I get pissed off, I'll say something, and I'm like, you know what, let me take that down because that's only going to cause division. I don't want to cause division. Let me keep my opinions to myself and let it go. I want to be the positive voice out there.
Right.
You know, I want to inspire. I don't want
and
to
you
hurt
have.
Anybody.
And you have with your books, for sure. Absolutely.
Thank you. Your books,
for sure. I mean, and just speaking with you, I mean, I know you are. And like you said, on Facebook. And do you recall, did you join me for the tribute I did for Dawn Wells? Was that you? I know I had a bunch of folks come on. Did you come on?
I don't think so.
I think we tried to make it happen. I might be thinking of Steve Wischoff, maybe. Wischoff. I think that might be.
Okay.
I don't know.
Uh-huh.
But I know you knew Dawn very well, so that's why I thought.
I did know Dawn. She did her book. I helped her with her book. I helped her to get that public. I wanted her to. We were supposed to do a biography together. And then she wanted to do this, what would Marianne do? And I told her, I go, Dawn, do the biography first and then do the what would Marianne do book.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to do that. But she was, oh, my gosh, she was a sweetheart.
Oh, listen, Herbie, she was supposed to be on my show a month later after her passing. And I was just like, wow. I don't know about you, but that I do this show and I get to speak to people that I grew up watching and grew up listening to has been the biggest honor for me. I mean, it's amazing. And the fact that they want to talk to me and just, they're all amazing people. I can't even say that they're so kind. And I mean, it's just amazing. I don't want to say I was starstruck growing up, because like you, if I ran into a celebrity, I didn't say, give me your picture. Let's take a picture. Give me your autograph. I just would say hi. And that's it. When I worked in the city years ago, I would bump into so many celebrities and I would just say, hey, how you doing? And kept going. And they appreciated that. They don't like being hounded and harassed. And I wasn't that type of person. I did like them, but I did not throw myself at them and fawn all over. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know what made me say that and what go off track, but I was very disappointed because I was really looking forward to speaking to her. And then for her, it was just so sad when she passed. It was totally unexpected. So just very sad.
She picked me up one day for lunch and we were talking about, she started talking about the shorts that she wore as Marianne. And she goes, they were just tiny little things. She goes, tiny, tiny little shorts. And she goes, I don't even know how I got in them. She was just so wonderful. So wonderful. So wonderful.
Oh, man. Oh, well, before we go on about anything else, I just want to let everybody know that all of Herbie's books are available everywhere online, bookstores, and you can go to herbiejpilato.com as well and get books there. Where else, Herbie? Everywhere you get a book, that's where you can find you.
Yes. No, you certainly can order them through Facebook, even if you Facebook me and you want a personally signed copy. You can Facebook me or you can contact me through LinkedIn or, as you say, go to my website and contact me there. But it's on Amazon.com and the books are on also BarnesandNoble.com, wherever books are sold. And the new exciting thing that's happening, just started this week, I'm now doing the Herbie J. Pilato collection of mugs and coasters that
Very
are connected
cool.
with classic TV and my books. And I'm doing positive thought mugs. So I'm
very nice.
It's like my social media coming to the mug world.
Right. Well, that's great. And that's all at HerbieJPilato.com, right, folks? You could get there. Oh, everything there. Excellent.
Right.
Now,
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just wanted to ask if you're still doing your TV show then again.
No, unfortunately, no. We did the first season, and we did the best we could, and we're all very proud of it. But no, but there will be no more than again with Herbie J. Pilato. Some way down the road, maybe another series, totally different than that. Whether it's a narrative, a sitcom, I still always want to have a sitcom. But no, then again is over. But that one season that we did was terrific. That's on Amazon Prime, Amazon Prime UK still, and Shout TV. You can still watch those first six episodes of the show.
And it's called Then Again with Herbie J. Pilato. And it's on, like he said, Amazon Prime and Amazon UK and everywhere. I guess you'd stream it, too. If you go to YouTube, you could see a few excerpts of them or at least episode. No,
it's not on YouTube. Not on YouTube, but it is on. Like I said, Shout. You go to shouttv.com. Just look up Then Again with Herbie J. Pilato, Shout TV, and you'll find it.
Very cool. Now that's what I was getting at. Your show. Now, when you did the show, you were doing interviews with all of your favorite classic TV stars. And I mean, doesn't it, it's like amazing, right? I mean, did you ever think that little boy watching TV 40, 50 years ago would be talking to these people? That's what I'm saying. It's just so amazing to me that I'm able to do this, you know, and it's an honor for me.
Well, the show actually came from, I was doing live events at the Burbank Barnes & Noble. Well, what happened was, in the summer of 2015, Larry Edmonds bookstore contacted me and said that Cindy Williams of Laverne & Shirley was going to come there and sell her book. And they wanted to know if I'd like to moderate. So I said, sure. So I did that. And then someone at Barnes & Noble in the Burbank store, which I would always do book signings at, Diane Sands, lovely Diane Sands, who was then the manager of the Burbank Barnes & Noble, she said to me, she contacted me, and she goes, Herbie, would you like to come do Pop Culture Thursday every week in July?
Oh,
and I
cool.
said, well, what's that? She goes, well, you can sit down and talk with, you know, one of your classic TV friends, whoever you want, and you sell their book. I said, great. So we did that in July of 2015, and then everybody was showing up every week at this live event. And I said to Diane, I said, Diane, we can't stop. We have to keep on doing these events.
Yeah.
And so we did them all the way up until December, where I had a huge party, a huge Christmas holiday party with all the classic TV stars that I could possibly know that were in my life or friends or that I interviewed. And it was a blowout. And dear friends of mine, Joel Eisenberg and Lori Gersh Eisenberg, who just passed away, God bless her, they were like watching me from the side. And they would always come to these events. And at the end of the big Christmas event, Joel said to me, who was that? He was there. He goes, we want to turn this into a TV show. I'm like, Merry Christmas to me. I mean, it was an amazing thing. So we then did a pilot, and then we got it on Amazon. That was Lori's. That was Lori's idea to put it on Amazon. So she was very smart and business savvy in that way. So anyway, but it was, you know, I always wanted my TV show. I always wanted my own TV show. I got it. It wasn't the biggest TV show in the world. You know, it was certainly on Amazon, which was cool. But and it only lasted a season. But, you know, it was, I did it. You know, another thing I did that someone said I could never do. Herbie, you're never going to get out of the ghetto. Herbie, you're never going to California. Herbie, you're never going to college. Yada, yada, yada.
Right. Oh, man. Did your parents ever get to see your success, Herbie?
My father, yes. And to some extent. My father, when I was working as a page at NBC, my father saw me on Stump the Band with Johnny Carson. And he saw my first Bewitched book published, and he saw my Kung Fu Book of Wisdom. And then when I started doing documentaries, my mother saw me on the Eat Your Hollywood Story. But yeah, so they saw a measure of it.
Good.
And I always
talk about
that.
Go ahead. I was going to say, talk about making dreams come true. It seems like every dream you had has come true.
I'm going to say yes to that.
Yeah.
You know,
absolutely.
In the most modest way. I'm very, very grateful. You know, look at, we all have our thing to do. Okay? We all have our talents. I can't count. I can't play basketball. I can't play football. Okay?
Right.
At least well. But I do sing and dance and act and write. I do all those things. And I love classic TV. And we all have our gifts. And I believe that when an idea comes to you, that it's a whisper from the universe of what you're supposed to do.
Yep.
And if you don't listen to that whisper, not only do you deny yourself opportunity, but you deny the people who would enjoy it.
So yeah.
I just want to make sure that before I leave this world, that I've done everything I was supposed to do. That's all.
Well, there you go. There you go. Wow. Oh, man, Herbie. I could talk to you for hours. My goodness. I mean, we didn't even talk about what I really want to talk about, you know, just the shows in general and, oh, which ones were your favorite episodes and I wanted to ask, what did you think of the Twilight Zone? Is that one you ever consider doing anything about?
Oh, absolutely. I love the Twilight Zone. Well,
me
Mark
too.
Creed,
Pardon
Mark
me.
Scott the Creed. He
yeah.
wrote, you know, the ultimate Twilight Zone companion. And there's a couple other Twilight Zone books. And then there's, you know, Rod Serling biography. His daughter did one. So I think Twilight Zone was pretty much covered. You know, I tried to do shows that never were written about, you know, and I tried to make them my own. So that's
yeah.
why I did The Witch and Kung Fu, Life Goes On, Six Mill.
Man. Great stuff. Oh, man. I got to get a copy of one of your books. That's. I mean, I know if I bought one, I'd have a library here because I would want every one of them.
I think if you were to choose one book, I would say get the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas and get the hardcover. Mm. Get the hardcover. And if you want a matching mug, I can have one sent to you for that too. But go to Amazon and get the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, the heart. It's only $20, really.
I think I'd enjoy them. All your books are inexpensive. So, folks, go check them out. If you love classic TV and you love all these topics that Herbie has written about, and you will enjoy these books with no doubt. And I could say that without even reading them because it's everything I'm into. So I would love every one of them. I mean, Mary Tyler Moore was one of my favorites too, and I mean just all of them. Bewitched, everybody, and anyway, but now I'm guessing the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas is about Christmas past. Is there going to be a 12 Best Secrets of your future Christmases in the works anytime soon, Herbie? Of the Christmases you've lived now.
There's been. I don't know about that. But I kind of tie in a recent Christmases at the end of the 12 Secrets of Christmas. So I kind of explain how
the
12.
Don't tell them the end. I'm kidding.
Okay. But what I'm going to do too, I think, is somewhere down the road, maybe the 13 Best Secrets of Halloween, the 12 Best Secrets of Summer. So I think I might do that. But next year, besides the Diana Rigg book, I'm doing I'm finishing up the classic Christmas TV memories, which covers all of the specials of the 50s and 60s and 70s.
And they were great.
Other decades.
They were great.
Rudolph and Harry Como, The Gathering, It Happened One Christmas with Marlo Thomas. All of those are going to be covered in Christmas TV memories, which is coming out next Christmas.
Oh, you got to come back for that. You got to come back for that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, that's going to be a good one too. That book. Oh my goodness. Were you a fan of, I got to ask you, were you a fan of Battle of the Network Stars?
Absolutely.
That was the best, wasn't it? Oh, I wish they would do something like that today. Oh my God. I loved that show.
They did. A couple years ago, about 5 years ago, ABC brought it back.
Who was
and,
on it?
And I'm like, Larry Wilcox.
Okay.
Joey Lawrence, people like that. But something was wrong with it. I'm like, okay, why is this not like the Battle of the Network Stars, the original?
Yeah.
What's different? And
what's
here's
not
what
working?
It is. You want to know what it was?
Go ahead, hit me.
You want to know what it is? Okay.
Yeah.
There were no people in the stands. They did it without an audience. They did it without, and I'm like, no, you need those cheering people.
The cheering fans.
Yes.
Yep.
So.
Oh, my goodness.
They didn't get it.
Listen, Herbie, we've got a caller. You want to talk to a caller? Someone wants to join the conversation with us.
Sure.
Let's see who we got on the line. Let's see. Hang on. Hi, you're on Applause Radio Show. You're on with Herbie J. Pilato. What's your name? Where are you calling from? And you got a question for Herbie?
I know. I just wanted to listen.
Okay. Well, I hope you're enjoying the show. Herbie's got some great books, and oh my goodness, he's an amazing historian of TV, and I'm just having a blast talking with him. I'm hoping you're enjoying the conversation.
I just tapped in.
Nice.
Oh.
Well, enjoy. What, do you want to talk to Herbie about anything? You have a question or anything about his books?
Well, give me a minute. I'll put the one on and the one off.
Okay. What's your name in the meantime?
Joanne.
Joanne. Uh-oh, we got another Joanne on the phone. Trouble. I'm kidding, Joe. You got something for Herbie?
No. I don't have. I'll hit the one when I'm ready to talk.
Okay. Okay. Well, I just what was your favorite TV show growing up?
Oh, wow. That's not easy.
One of them.
Charlie's Angels.
Oh, Charlie's Angels.
Yeah.
Herbie loved that one too, because I did too. I know Herbie did.
That was fun.
Yeah, I love it. You know what? Charlie's Angels was not Shakespeare. You know, it never tried to be. And certainly, I think the original three angels were perfect. Farrah, Kate Jackson, and Jacqueline Smith. And Cheryl Ladd did an awesome job.
Mm-hmm.
Tiffany, played by Shelley Hack, she was a sweetheart, but, you know, she couldn't really muster the acting. And then Tanya Roberts, who passed away, she was hot, but she just was misplaced in that show, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Which one was Tanya Roberts?
What'd you say, Joanne?
Which one was Tanya Roberts?
That was later.
Tanya Roberts was the one who came in the fifth year, the last season. She was the redhead.
What was the character? What was the name of the character?
It was Julie.
Was
I wasn't watching it then. Once Farrah went off, I really didn't watch it much. I watched a little bit with Cheryl Ladd, and then after that, I got into other things.
I really only started watching the third and fourth and fifth years recently, and Cheryl Ladd did an amazing job.
She really became
the smart one. When Kate Jackson left, she was the smart one.
Right. Oh, goodness. All right, Joe. Well, thanks for calling in. We appreciate it. And if you want to get a copy of Herbie's books, go online to anywhere you can get a book, Barnes & Nobles, and also Amazon and HerbieJPilato.com. And he's got a new Christmas book out, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. And sounds like going back to Christmas past and all those good feelings we had when we were growing up as kids. And I hope we all keep those feelings, and some of us do, and I hope everybody should keep those feelings, because that's what makes Christmas in this time of year so special. So, but thank you so much for calling, Joe. We really appreciate it. Thank you, and have a good night.
Thank you, Joanne.
Take care. Mm-hmm. Okay, bye-bye. I think she just wanted to dial in to listen. I had no idea. That's what happens on live radio, Herbie. We never know what we're going to get. But anyway, she was very sweet, very sweet. Thank you for calling in, Joanne. I forgot to ask her where she was calling from, though. Well, I did ask. She didn't say. But let me ask you this real quick. It's getting late. I know you got things to do. You're a busy guy, and it's past 11 a.m., so you should be sleeping by now. See. Oh, hold on. She's calling back. Let me grab her and put her on hold so she can listen to the show. There we go. Let her listen in. Okay. So what I wanted to ask you, where was I? I was, I lost my train of thought. Oh, geez. Oh, we were talking about Battle of the Network Stars. I know what,
right.
Yeah, know what I missed too? The variety shows. They were fantastic.
Yeah.
They need to do those again somehow.
The closest we have are these, you know, American Idol things and everything.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. There's no, I'm exhausted. If I start watching a new show, I get a little bit excited. It's like, okay, this is pretty good. But then 900 commercials. That's the other thing. Then there's 900 commercials. And then after the commercials are over, it's like, wait a minute, what was I watching? I didn't even know what I was watching anymore. Because I forgot, because there's so many commercials.
Right. Nowhere did I think was another thing that pulled me into the shows, too, was the theme songs. The theme songs made it. I mean, even if the show stank, I still watched it because I loved that damn theme song, you know? Genius.
Right.
To write. I mean, because they told the story.
They got rid of the theme songs, what, about 15, 20 years now? I mean, it's like, oh, they have a credit and maybe some kind of song. I think Friends was the last song, but that wasn't even about the show.
Right.
You know, that was just a generic friendly song. But you watch a show like The Nanny, it tells a story in the theme.
Yep. All the themes did. All the themes did, you know. Oh, my God. Oh, Herbie, we need to start our own little world. Let's run away and start our own retro world where we can live in a little bubble and be happy for the rest of our lives.
You know what? I think I already do that.
No, good for you. I wish I could. One of these days, I'll escape to my past and just live in my past because, oh, man. Listen, we had great times. The shows made them and the movies made them great and just everything about our childhoods were just amazing. I feel so bad for these kids today. I can't tell you how many times I've apologized to my kids. I said, I'm so sorry. This is not how life is supposed to be, you know, with everything going on. I said, this is not how the world is, but it is, unfortunately. You know, these poor kids now that they, like you said, it was going on when we were kids, but we didn't see it. We were sheltered from it. And now it's just right in their face. It's there. Yeah. There's no way to avoid it, but it's such simpler times. And I have to thank you for keeping those simpler times alive and our memories alive with your books and your shows. And what about your sitcom you said you're working on? Can you talk about that or no?
No. That's a dream still. So we'll see. I mean, there's no conversation. But there's other documentaries and other movies that I'm, you know, working on that will happen. But the sitcom, I don't know. I think I'm right now probably living the sitcom. So.
I know, right? Our lives are sitcoms. Our lives are sitcoms, but there's no laugh track. That's the only thing. There's no laugh track.
Yeah,
right. You know?
It's a dramedy. It's a dramedy.
Yeah, it's more of a dramedy. That's for shit sure. Oh my God. Oh my goodness. Oh well, Herbie, I can't thank you enough for hanging out with me tonight. What a pleasure to speak with you, and I'm so glad we finally touched base. And you are too kind to reschedule. I appreciate it. And again, I'm trying to do the best I can with the little bit of time I have lately with everything going on in my life. But the show must go on, as they say, right? So we're making it happen. Okay. And I appreciate you doing that with me. And you're too kind. And we should talk off the phone sometime because we could really talk, you know, about some great stuff. And if I don't talk to you, please, please have a very Merry Christmas. And guys, go get Herbie's new book, The 12 Best Secrets of Christmas. You'll love it. It's all about the beautiful moments of Christmas that make Christmas Christmas, and or even any holiday, whoever celebrates whatever holidays celebrate this time of year, Hanukkah. It's all about family, love, and just... I got to tell you, Herbie, it's not Christmas for me unless I'm buying toys. How about you?
That's right. I agree. I absolutely agree.
Yeah. And there's nowhere to even buy the toys now. There's no toy stores. They have toy stores in California.
Yeah, I know it. No, no, but Walmart still has, you know, the toy aisles.
Oh, that sucks.
So that
we want our Toys R Us. We were Toys R Us kids. Remember that jingle?
Yeah,
that was a great jingle. I don't want to grow up. I'm a toy.
Well, I tell you, the one toy I always wanted that I never got because I grew up was the big wheel. The year I grew up is when the big wheel came out, and I was pissed off.
You didn't get the big wheel?
I didn't get the big wheel. I was too old.
Oh, God. Oh. Listen, my brother had the big wheel. I rode it. I didn't care. I was older than him. The big wheel was great. You know.
It was great.
I remember running home. Oh, God. Real quick before we go, like the Christmas classics that they used to put on, Rudolph. You mentioned earlier Rudolph, Frosty, and oh, my God, Santa Stole Christmas. I can't remember the titles, but in my 30s, I would run home and watch those on ABC every December. But they were just – which one was your favorite? I love the one – oh, I can't think of which title it was, but with Heat Miser and
That's Santa Claus Is Coming to Town.
That's a great one.
I'm sorry, The Year Without a Santa Claus.
That's it. Yep. And I would run home to watch those in my 30s still to just see those. And I tried to turn the kids on to them, and they weren't interested at all.
Yeah.
When I had kids, and they were not interested at all in it. I don't know why, but I don't know. But as
how
they
old
say,
are they?
Now 25 and 21.
Yeah, it was they. Yeah, so they what? You tried to have them watch it when they were like 10 or something, or what?
When they were little, yeah. You know, they have them on every year, so I would try to, you know, they'd start watching it. We'd get popcorn. We'd sit on the couch and sit to watch it, and they'd start watching. They'd lose interest. So I said, okay, go do what you want to do. I'm watching it.
Yeah, I hear a lot. I hear that a lot. And yet, I think the kids today are discovering those shows.
Yeah.
So, I really do. So, and that's what my book next year is going to be about. It's going to be about all those shows.
Christmas stuff, all those Christmas shows. And how about, I got to ask you real quick, were you a Saturday morning kid, obviously?
Absolutely. Herculoids. Remember the Herculoids?
Yeah.
I loved the Monkees because the Monkees were rerun on Saturday afternoons when I was growing up. They came on NBC 66 to 68, but I discovered them on Saturday mornings or Saturday afternoons in reruns.
Yes, Sid and Marty Croft, that was great, everything they did.
Yeah.
And then Sundays at 11 o'clock. You remember that?
What?
On Channel 11?
What's the
movie. It would start at 11 o'clock in the morning, and then it would be Abbott and Costello or a movie. Great.
Yeah.
Remember those? Oh, and the Bowery Boys on Saturdays on Channel 5.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah. That's the thing. There's too much overload. Those four or five channels we had were perfect.
We had
no other choice. We had no other choice but to watch it, and it was great. So, anyway, I digress. I'm going too far back, I guess, in my time and my childhood. I don't know. But, hey, that means we had a happy childhood, and it made us better people, I think. I think those shows made us better people, and we need more like those for people to – because if you're not getting it at home from your parents, if you get it from TV, because they're getting the bad from TV, let's get some good from TV, right?
That's absolutely right. That's beautifully said.
That's my opinion. If you're going to learn it somewhere, learn it somewhere from TV. Because if you're addicted to TV and social media, put the good stuff on so that this is what people focus on, not bad. But anyway, Herbie, thank you so much again. And please keep in touch and come back anytime. I would love to have you on, and I would love to have a chat with you sometime if you're not busy. I know you're really busy too. So, but oh my God, I could talk to you for hours.
Well, thank you. I feel the same way. So, Jan, we'll have conversations. We won't wait.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
All
so,
right.
Guys, go check out the 12 Best Secrets of Christmas, the Bionic Book, the $6 Million Man and the Bionic Woman Restructured, Connery, Sean Connery, before, during, and after his most famous role, and the list goes on. Bewitched books, Bewitched Forever, my God, Kung Fu, NBC and Me. We didn't even talk about that one. Your life when you were working at NBC as a page,
mm-hmm.
Life and History mm-hmm. of Life Goes On,
oh,
awesome. Mary, the Mary Tyler Moore story, Twitch Upon a Star, again, Bewitched, Dashing, Daring, and Debonair, TV's top male icons from the 50s, 60s, 70s, Glamour, Gidgets, and the Girls Next Door, TV's iconic woman from the 50s and 60s, the retroactive television book, too, which Herbie just got an award for as author of the year and book of the year from L.A.'s TV Film Festival. My goodness, when does it stop? Tell me, never.
I guess it's not going to stop, I guess.
Good.
I guess we'll see.
Thank God. We need more Herbie Pilatos to keep this alive. So thank you so much, Herbie. Mm-hmm. What a pleasure. And I thank you again. And you have a wonderful holiday. And please, please come back anytime.
Thank you, Joanne. Merry Christmas to you and happy holidays and happy holidays to all.
You got it. Thank you. Everybody, Herbie J. Pilato. Go to HerbieJPilato.com. Anywhere, BarnesandNoble.com, Amazon.com, wherever you get books, and you can get any of his books. And he's on Facebook as well, as he said, and very accessible. I don't mean to throw you out there, Herbie, but listen, you just heard him. He's a wonderful guy. He's very kind and just wants to spread joy like everybody else should be doing. So, Herbie, I thank you for what you do. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joanne.
All right. Take care, everybody. Herbie J. Pilato. Take care, Herbie. Thank you. Bye-bye. Good
Bye-bye.
Night. All right. Oh, boy. I'm telling you. I could talk to Herbie forever because I am a TV fanatic. And unfortunately, I have not been able to watch much TV. And if I did watch anything current, there's not much. There really isn't. And Sundays would be my TV day. And I would literally have me TV going all day. And I forgot to talk about earlier about we were talking about Twilight Zone. On New Year's Day, I watched the Twilight Zone marathon, which I don't know if Herbie does. I'm guessing he probably watches some of it if he's not working. But again, I feel like he might be the male version of me. I'm not sure. But what a great conversation. I could talk to him forever. But I am losing my steam. I'm tired. But we have a great, great couple weeks coming up for you guys. Pardon me. December 12th, we've got Dennis Provisor from the Grassroots. I can't wait to talk to him. I love the Grassroots. On the 13th, Angela Rockstar Lantry from Big Brother. If you guys watch Big Brother, that's like one of the only reality shows that I've watched other than American Idol. I don't watch American Idol anymore. Not that I'm not into it. I just don't have time to, but I watched it religiously when it first came out. But Big Brother, I've been watching since its inception. And Angela was a contestant on there. And she has just been living the dream, living life ever since the show. And probably before that, because she is just a down-to-earth person. And she just loves life. So, and we're going to have on the 14th, Rick Ryan and his illustrator. I don't have her name in front of me, but I will have it. And then on the 16th, Saturday, we're doing a Saturday. Michelle Palmieri will be back for your free psychic reading. The calendar should be updated this week. I'm getting it over to the website this weekend. So you'll see all these folks up there. And Bud Whittingham is going to be on the 17th. He's a guitarist from Texas Scratch. It's a blues rock band. Kathy Garver's coming back on the 19th. She's Sissy from All in the Family. I'm so sorry. From Family Affair. Again, I'm losing steam. And on the 20th, Joey and Doreen Arminio are going to join us. Joey Saxman, and they've got a new Christmas album, and Joey's got a book out called 0 to 60, and we're going to, that'll be our last show for December, I think. And maybe I'll do some Christmas music, an evening of Christmas music. We'll see. It depends on what's going on. So, and January, I have guests, but I don't have a calendar. I got to get to the store and buy a calendar so I can book some guests. So I don't want to write them down and forget, because I know I will. If I don't have a calendar and don't write them on a calendar, I'll lose it. So, but again, thank you, thank you, thank you, Herbie J. Pilato. What a pleasure to speak with you. Thank you for hanging out with me and being so kind to reschedule and join me tonight. We were originally scheduled in November, and Herbie was kind enough to reschedule, so I appreciate that. I've had a lot going on. So we will continue to bring you the best that we can in entertainment and just world, whatever's about. Let me know. Email me at close. Video, if there's any guests or any topics you want me to go over, I'm more than happy to break my neck and do that for you. Go out of my way and do that if that's what you want. So I thank you all so very much. And oh, I have to book, I think I have one day left here that I could squeeze in. I got to get Rick back on. Rick Sudi Kalata is my friend. And Adrian Christian, we got to get them on for Christmas. I have to email them. So anyway, what are we going to close with today? What's today? Today's Saturday? Should we play? Should we play? Let's see. What should we close with tonight? I have stuff up here already. Oh, maybe we could play Albert Bouchard from Blue Oyster Cult. Let's play that. All right, we'll do that. Where is it? Where is it? I can't see. It's late. Here we go. Albert Bouchard, who was on, when was he on? The 5th. Albert Bouchard was the co-founder and drummer of Blue Oyster Cult. And we had a great conversation that night. We had a lot of fun. And I'm going to close with that. I'll close with Don't Fear the Reaper. So this is Blue Oyster Cult. Thank you again to Herbie J. Pilato. Go check out his books at herbiejpilato.com, barnesandnoble.com, amazon.com, wherever you get your books. And you will find, just type in Herbie J. Pilato and you'll get all of his books. And he has written so many books, and especially his new Christmas book. It's The 12 Secrets of Christmas. And go check it out. And he's working on some new projects, and we look forward to getting more from Herbie and anything that he works on. We appreciate, because he's just keeping our memories alive with these books. So thank you for everything you do, Herbie. We really appreciate it. So have a good night, folks. We will see you on, what did I say? On the 12th. With Dennis Provisor from the Grassroots. Oh, we're going to play some of that music. I can't wait. I love the Grassroots. So, all right. Take care. Thank you. Take care and have a great rest of your weekend. And thank you again to Herbie. Herbie J. Pilato. Take care, everybody. Have a good night. Bye-bye. Don't feel the reaper, nor do the wind.
music.
There we go, the build-up.